Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, August 10th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page XXVIII, the second paragraph that begins with frothy emotional appeal. We'll be reading and commenting on this one paragraph only. Today's readers are Terry S., will be reading the 12 steps, Reggie O., will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Shelley E., Lynette P., and KP. The share ID for Sunday, August 8th, the special edition, is 15,128. That's 15128. This morning's Monday, August 10th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time share ID is 15,131. 15131. Our newcomer greeter for today is Amy K., and Leslie M. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Terry S. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Terry S. in Oregon, and the recovering food addict. Very grateful to do service. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Sorry. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry S. And Reggio, would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Thank you. I sure will, Kathleen. Thank you for your service this morning. This is Reggio, gratefully recovered today in the Los Angeles area, Woodland Hills. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority: a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. It's great to be here and be of service this morning. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Reggie O. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page XXVIII, the second paragraph, beginning with frothy emotional appeal. We'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And good morning, Shelley E. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Northern Michigan. Frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. The message which can interest and hold these alcoholic people must have depth and weight. In nearly all cases, their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. When I saw that this was going to be my paragraph, I was thrilled. Interesting enough, in my book, I have a question mark because the first time I read it, I didn't understand what frothy emotional appeal was. But once it was pointed out to me what it was, boy, could I relate. Since I was a very, very young child, I was faced with frothy emotional appeal from family, friends, and I was completely immune to it. It sounded to me like those cartoon characters, wah, 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 wah. I mean, it just really was going in one ear, out the other. I wasn't there yet. And I also, when I was hearing that, I was told I would be prettier or I'd be happier if I just lost weight. And each time someone told me that, I lost a little more self-worth, a little self-confidence, and I felt like I was not enough. And that was just a downward spiral, which I didn't think I would ever get out of. When I was fortunate enough to enter the rooms, I did hear a message of such depth and weight, and I knew I had found my fellows, my home, and these people really knew my struggles. And it was the first time I had been introduced to the fact of the allergy of the body, and I just felt so at home and so at ease with everyone. And I feel very fortunate that these days, with my higher power in charge, I no longer feel like I'm not enough, and I am grounded in a power greater than myself, and it has allowed me to recreate my life. I'm still that little person. I'm still the person that they were trying to change inside, and I was fine then. I just needed my allergy and my higher power addressed. But with that, I will pass, and thank you so much for letting me do service.
Thank you, Shelley E. Okay, again, we're on page XXVIII, the second paragraph, beginning with frothy emotional appeal. And although we value your experience, we do ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others may share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Michelle J.
Evan U.
John N.
I heard Michelle J., Evan, John, and there was another, Larry G. You guys are challenging me there. Okay, anyone else?
Johan N.
Johan N. I can take one more. Okay, well, let's stop there.
How about Ken W.H.?
Ken W.H. Okay, we have a lineup of men here. Okay, I have Michelle J., I think it was Larry G., Evan, I didn't catch your last initial. You can give it to me when we get there. John, I think it was M., Johan N., and Ken W.H. So good morning, Michelle. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. This is Michelle J., recovered from the addiction of food and monkeys in my head to recovering every day by the grace of God and this program and its weighty principles. You know, you guys, this is incredible because no matter where we are and what we're doing in the program, things just seem to be orchestrated in this beautiful orchestra, in a symphony. We're in the beginning and we're talking about this frothy emotional appeal, and I'm thinking, yeah, you know, to be beautiful, to be skinny, to be in that size when I was in college, and or gee, everybody just sounds so okay, and I feel so horrible. Things that led us to where we are today listening this morning. But you know, those things aren't very heavy, they're not very weighted. The principles that I've learned in the year and a half, almost 2 years now, that are weighted, that have power and strength, the program, the 12 steps. And then the last word spoken in this paragraph today was grounded. Okay, I'm going to throw you a squirrel at the moment. Squirrel, here we go. Grounded. All week long, and I have been talking with mentors and mentees and discussing this drop the rock thing that I heard way a long time ago that's now becoming prevalent. It's something from the ground. It's weighted. And each person I'm working with, they're at different levels, different steps, but I still got to use that same weighty principle. If it's heavy, if it's a burden, if you could be in your fourth steps, you could be doing 10 steps, you could be in your 12th steps, hand it to God. I say, take a rock, carry it around with you all day long. It feels horrible. Drop the rock. Give it to God. Step one, two, three, give it to God. If you're feeling weighted this morning, maybe you've gained a pound. Drop it. Give it to God. If you're having problems with your emotions, with your feelings, with a relationship in your job, take that rock in your hand, write that name, that person, that thing, drop the rock, give it to God. I'm telling you, it is the most wonderful principle, and it has weight, and it is grounded, and it works. I'm excited about life today. I'm excited about the 12 steps and about people and about recovery. I'm getting more and more every day. And I just want to cheer you all on and say, drop the rock today, whatever it is, and give it to God. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Michelle J. Okay, good morning, Larry G. You're up next, followed by Evan. Larry, star one to unmute, please.
This is Larry from Northern California. I came in Visions on May 17th, and one of the things I regret is not recording all of my frothy emotional appeals. Because I got to tell you, they were Tony Robbins quality. If I could get those on a CD set, I could have made some money. But as you know, they had no effect. It's like going to a weekend motivational speaker, listening to a motivational speaker. It has really, if you feel good in the moment, but it has it has seldom suffices. And what I had to do was, in order to recreate my life, I had to become grounded in a power greater myself. And I woke up this morning abstinent, and I'm humbled. I'm not a humble man. I am overwhelmed on how this is all taking place. How does somebody who cannot stop eating, who cannot put the food down, who is a prisoner of the food, who regularly whips himself up with frothy emotional appeals and only to be defeated by the end of the day, go to somebody who is abstinent, somebody who had a yellow light food list that was longer than the red light food list, is now on the red light food list, follows directions, says yes to everything, showing up in these meetings, taking these principles, practicing all my affairs, making phone calls, becoming better at my job, becoming a better husband, a better father, even a better sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous. I mean, how do you explain that? And I know I can. Intellectually, I can. But how do you explain a miracle? I'm just baffled by all this. How could I go from the person I was on May 17th, unable to put the food down, to actually going through the day and not even thinking about food? It's just a miracle. And I tell you, I really am grateful for visions for you. I found a home here. I found people who ate the way I used to eat, who think about food the way I think about food, who behave, who act like I used to act around food, and who have been around for 10, 15, 20 years. Met somebody this weekend, been around for 30 plus years, and now are entirely abstinent, are recovered. I want what you've got, and I'm terrified. This is a good thing. I'm terrified to pick up that one first compulsive bite, that one bite of red light food. I pass into a region of mine where it's more important for me to be absent than it is for me to be comfortable and occasionally have that moment where I eat that red light food, alcoholic food. Thank you so much for your service. I pass.
Thank you, Larry G. Okay, Evan, you're up next, followed by John M. And Evan, what is the first initial of your last name?
You.
You. Okay, go ahead, Evan. Thank you.
Hi, this is Evan U from sunny Southern California. Wonderful to be here with you all. Thank you all for doing the Monday service. Happy to be part of this esteemed lineup. For all the emotional appeals, I can't imagine an overeater who hasn't experienced that. But what struck me about that this morning was, you know, the frothy emotional appeals that I heard from inside program, the people who were focused on controlling and managing the food inside the program as a way of recovery, that started to become so empty for me that those appeals didn't mean anything to me. And I had to seek out and I had to find something new. And I came across this meeting and I heard, as I've heard many, the thing that captured me about this meeting was the spirit behind the voices, the serenity. And so what captures my attention today is a message with depth and weight. The surface way of doing this program no longer sufficed for me. It's like I have a wonderful life. I have about just about everything I can get out of life. It's like it can only get incrementally better. Small. So it's like my life, the surface, is not going to fix it. And I'll tell you, working these steps, I'm in step one and two right now, bouncing back and forth. And there is nothing surface about coming to a place of complete surrender, not just with food, but just the whole operating system with which I'm viewing life, turning that whole thing over. The unmanageability of my great life, I am not capable of managing it. And so I have to give that over. And then I have to trust in something. I already have great trust in God, but I have to trust even deeper and surrender on an even deeper level. There's nothing about that doesn't have depth and weight. And that's the kind of message I need to hear today. That's the kind of message who can save someone who's got just about everything and still feels empty and lost and needs a new level of higher power. So I'm grateful to be here with you all. And, you know, I just want to say that just in the months that I've been working the steps, I am experiencing a different relationship with food. And it's not calling it in and doing all this and doing all that. It's just there's an ease that's happening that's definitely not anything I generated. So grateful to be here with you all.
Thank you, Evan Yu. John M., good morning. You're up next, followed by Johan N. Star one to unmute, John. John, we're not hearing you. Star one to unmute. Okay, we'll come back to you. So, Johan N., you want to go ahead?
Hi. My name is Johan N. I'm calling from Sweden. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Very happy to be on the line. And thank you so much for service and everybody calling in and making this meeting possible. I'm so grateful for this meeting and for this program. And what got me today was the last sentence there, that their ideas must be grounded in a power greater than themselves if they are to recreate their lives. And my higher power was always the next diet. And my higher power was that when I was going to be thin and have a six-pack, everything would be all right. And I would be happy and life would be glorious and... And I actually got thin through hospitalization. I was in a hospital for a long time and I got thin. I came out from the hospital and I was thin for the first time in many, many years. But this just made me more insane. Just trying to keep this weight made me more and more insane in this disease. And I got just more and more crazy. And I came to OA last year. And when I committed to the program, really, and when I did the steps in full, and I moved through them very quickly, I really got the spiritual experience, and the obsession was lifted from me. And 1 year later, still free from obsession, I'm in awe of this program, of the steps and of Big Book. I have recreated my life, not me, God has recreated my life, and thanks to that, I'm living abstinent one day at a time. I'm not holding on to my abstinence like it was in the beginning, white-knuckling it. I'm living abstinent, and for me, the difference between holding myself abstinent and living abstinent, that's astronomical, that difference for me. So I get to live abstinent one day at a time, happy, joyous, and free. And it's it is a joy today, and I am free today, free to do whatever I want and walk wherever I want, as long as I keep in this spiritual fit condition that I live every day in step 10, 11, and 12. And which I try to do after my best capability. But I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to be here. I'm so grateful for this program. I'm so grateful for a vision for you. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Johan N. from Sweden. Okay, John M., are you back by any chance? Okay, let's go with Ken W.H. Good morning, Ken. How are you? Go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. I'm Ken W.H. from shaky North Carolina, but still hot and humid. Recovered and recovering still, still trudging the road of happy destiny. I was struck by, and I often am, by the hand of a higher power in the production of this book. None of us knew, or I'm sure that Bill didn't know when it was written, that it would eventually end up in the laps of compulsive overeaters like me. And then I get this little twinkle in my eye when I read that hold the only thing that can interest and hold these, and I'm going to put compulsive overeaters, must have depth and weight. How fitting. It just brings a twinkle to my eye and just makes me alert and aware to the fact that I, somehow my higher power is finding ways to grab my attention, to keep me interested, to explore even more deeply this book as this meeting does, which is a new experience for me. I've been around 12-step programs for 4 decades almost, and never, ever having a big book like this. And it's just a new thing to me. And on the weight thing, the weighty idea, the weighty concept, where it's applying to me really clearly right now is with the phone, which has been weighing exceptionally heavy. It's been a difficult thing for me to lift. I feel like I'm doing arm curls now to strengthen my arm, to be able to pick that phone up more easily, more readily, without all of the struggle to get it to my ear. And it's getting lighter all the time. I've started to reach out. It's not the easiest thing for me to do, but I've found on this meeting a plethora of men, which is a new thing for me in OA. And I'm so excited about that. And they're going to be probably get a little tired, maybe me just checking in from time to time. But that's what I plan to do because I want to stay in this program and be healthy for the rest of my life. And I thank you so much. This is you're a real blessing, all of you. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Ken W.H. Okay, we are on page XXVIII, the second paragraph, Frothy Emotion Appeal. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph?
Janice M.
Liz M.
Patty W. Terry
Liz
B.
Liz M. Terry Patty.
Mary G.
Liz.
Mary G. I got Liz. What's your initial, Liz?
S. This is Sam.
Okay.
Lynette P.
Lynette P. Okay, let's stop there. Again, I missed some initials. So Janice M., Liz S., Patty, Terry, Mary G., and Lynette P. So go ahead, please, Janice M. Good morning.
Hi, Janice M., member of OA from Northern California. And I'm just, thank you all. I am completely, I can't believe I actually look forward and am, you know, diving into going to an OA meeting. And this meeting, who would think, you know, who'd know? You know, you think, oh, well, I'm missing my face-to-face meetings, which, to be honest with you, were becoming a real drag for me. So, yeah, I'm all about the book because I'm completely hopeless. I could write, as I shared last week, I could write volumes on nutrition, but the needed power. And Frothy Emotional Peel is, I mean, if you are morbidly obese, I mean, to me, the whole world is addicted to something, and all these byproducts of diabetes and everything are just byproducts of the underlying cause, which is this addiction to these highly stimulating substances, chemicals, and whatnot. And so, but the needed power isn't there. And, you know, I've been 210 pounds, I've been 105 pounds, so I run the gamut. But you know, nobody's ever said, oh, please lose weight, because I was really never that fat for that long, and I basically was so isolated. But I understand, so, oh, please don't, you know, you're going to kill yourself, and we've got the best diet. This is all frothy emotional peel on some level, which doesn't work for me. And I had a little victory yesterday, you know, and thank you. It's so refreshing to hear men and, oh, my God, somebody from across the world, it's profound. And so it's like, oh, yeah, I'm listening to the same language that my brain, that feels good on my brain, listening to my fellows. So, yeah, anyway, and I started coming to OA in 1974, so it's not like I haven't, you know. But years ago, I was introduced to the 12 steps as a daily practice, a daily written inventory, a daily meditation twice a day. And that was in 1992, and that's why I'm still sober. And my mentor, my spiritual mentor, you know, when I was all twisted up about another food plan, he's like, you're going to either abandon yourself to God or to a food plan. And there was too much fear. No, I've got to, like, study this food plan and do it perfectly. And that gets to be a drag as well. So the only thing that has lasted, and, you know, I don't know how it's happened, because believe me, I have had so many, oh, God, so many falling on my face, falling on my butt, falling, you know, in regards to food. But, you know, the weight has remained, I mean, I'm like 3 pounds from where I want to be, but most, you know, compared to most people walking on the street, I'm just right. So, but that's not saying much, because most people on the street are fat. But anyway, at least most people where I'm at. But yes, so I have to stop now. I had a whole other thing. I guess I'm going to have to wait my 3 days and do part two. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice M. Okay, good morning, Liz S. You're up next, followed by Patty. Liz, star one to unmute.
Okay. Liz, calling from New Hampshire, and I love this paragraph for two reasons. And one is, it reminds me that, you know, for me to speak to anyone, number one, I have to be absent myself, but when it says in nearly all cases their ideals must be grounded in a power greater than themselves, which means I really have to have that, you know, that 12th step, you know, that I it's really not me who is speaking to another compulsive overeater. You know, it's the 12 steps through me. It's the whole process of recovery that is speaking through me. And I think my favorite part of this paragraph is, if they are to recreate their lives. And I get chills when I read that, because that's what this is all about, is and Dr. Silkworth wrote this, which is really touches me, because that's what this is about. That's what the steps are about, recreating our lives. I mean, that's what I have to do. I have
Okay, we're going to move on to you then, Patty, followed by Terry. So, Patty, what's the first initial of your last name?
I think you're, if you're talking about me, it's Dottie W.
Dottie W, okay. I was way off on that, Dottie.
No, I mean, you have all those names coming in, so totally understandable.
Go ahead, thanks.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody, and thanks for everyone on the line, and thanks for all the service that everybody gives to this meeting and a vision program or meetings. They're just the best. And you know, as I was reading this paragraph this morning, I had to go up to the paragraph before it and look at how utterly screwed I am. If I don't accept, you know, if I don't accept that, and then also see it not not with guilt and shame, just that this is the way it is, then I'm not going to move on to the next. And, you know, I have to say I've been in AA for many, many years, and I used to try to do both programs in AA because I did not hear a message of depth and weight in OA. I heard, when I first came, I heard have three meals a day with life in between, which totally confused me because it's like telling an alcoholic to have three beers. And, you know, so, and that I could make choices, that I could choose what I eat, you know, just make better choices, and yet I'm powerless. And so the message just never worked for me because I was a low bottom food addict. I had to really come to terms with, you know, either my addiction fits with this book or it doesn't. And I think that's why there's so many versions of OA. You know, I've been, I heard somebody on the line describe it as heroin thin. I've had that. I've been stark raving abstinent. I've done the weighing and the measuring and the calling every day, and then people calling me at 6 a.m. in the morning, and that whole structured program, which works for a lot of people. It just didn't work for me after a while. So when I found this particular meeting, and I initially listened to a meeting called the Coffee Shop that disappeared, and then this meeting came to be, I heard the message of depth and weight, and I was so excited. You know, depth and weight to me is substance. It's not something that's going to change tomorrow. It's something that gets people's attention. It's you know, it's real, and then I can move through the steps. So anyhow, it's really good to be here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Dottie W. Okay, I have Terry up next, followed by Mary G. Good morning, Terry, and I need the first initial of your last name, please.
Hi, this is Terry from Hampton, Terry B. So, yes, this is my first time on the line here. I'm happy to be here. Happy all of you are here. I've been in OA for 20 years, and I always revert back to my previous years with the frothy emotional appeal and dieting, getting to that, you know, the weight that I was supposed to get to, the exercising. All of those things made me look good, but I didn't feel good. It didn't put me in a good place until I came to OA, which had depth and weight and could keep me grounded. It has taken me through many highs and lows in my life. Lots of things have happened to me, and I can still remain abstinent by God's grace. So I have a plan of eating and a sponsor that helps me do that, and my insecurities are lifted. The promises are there. And I find it amazing that I don't have to buy new clothes or less. I buy less clothes. And I'm just not out there trying to, it doesn't matter pretty much how I look. It just happens. It works from the inside and I look better. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Terry B. And Mary G., good morning. You're up next, followed by Lynette P.
Good morning. This is Mary G. in Mesa, Arizona, and thank you, everyone who has shared so far. The shares have just been wonderful. I think what really struck me today was the last half of that last sentence, if they are to recreate their lives. I came into this program very spiritually arrogant. I thought I knew what a spiritual awakening was. I'd had a spiritual experience in my life, and I just came in thinking I knew what it was. I just wanted OA to make me normal so that I could have those frothy emotional appeals, so that I could be thin and eat whatever I wanted. That's what I thought a normal person did. And so this idea to recreate my life, you know, I had to be beaten down pretty hard in order to surrender the food. You know, it came and I did. I surrendered the food. I was in a very structured way of working OA, and I lost the weight. I lost the weight, but I did not change. I was still the same Mary. And what this recreate their lives means to me now is that I have to let go of who I was when I walked in these rooms. You know, I have to let go of that raging person. I have to let go of that person who thought she was always right, who thought arguing was a badge of honor if I could win. You know, that person will eat again. And I didn't like that person to begin with. I mean, how I ever thought I didn't need to change is beyond me. It took an emotional crisis in my life where my husband, who I have to say we just celebrated 15 years of marriage, asked me for a divorce after 4 years of marriage. And I thought, I'm done. What are you talking about? You know, and he went camping and I went to another 12-step program. And it was in that program that I first learned in this book how to change myself. I knew I couldn't change him, but how did I do that behavior so I could change my behaviors? And I learned I had to practice new behaviors so that God, you know, my higher power, could recreate my life in me. And that's the only way that I could hold on to this message of depth and weight. Otherwise, I was just going to always look for the easier, softer way. And I am beyond grateful for this program and for this meeting and for all of you that share. And thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Mary G. Okay, before I take you in at P, I just want to remind everyone we're on page XXVIII, the second paragraph, Frothy Emotional Appeal. And I'll probably be able to take one or two names after Lynette. So good morning, Lynette. Go ahead, please.
Good morning again, Kathleen. Lynette P, recovered in Southern California. And like a couple people have mentioned, it's that last line, the last half of that line for me too. This whole book is so full of hope, and when I see words like recreate, that gives me hope. I love all those RE words, you know, the RE hyphen words throughout the book, reorganized, inwardly rearranged. They just pop out to me. That means a lot to me, and I want to dig deeper. What is all that? And I think to me, I didn't notice those words when I first came into the program because there wasn't really a focus on the big book, at least in the meetings that I attended many, many years ago. But to me now, to recreating my life or having spiritual experiences, that they are spiritually based. I'm going to my higher power, creating, you know, what is my concept of my higher power, getting that going, and really developing a trust and reliance on my higher power in all areas of my life, you know, working through the steps. What is my ideal when I first come in? What is that ideal now as I continue with this? So it's not a paragraph that just applies when we first come in. It's something to me that is certainly ongoing, definitely ongoing, you know, working the program and the steps at a deeper level, much deeper than in years past. And so I look at my spiritual, how can I be a more spiritual person in this program? Everything for me is based on that. What's my ideal as a woman? What's my ideal as a wife? And and the person that just spoke before me, I think, was kind of hit it on the head. For me, it's relationship. And so when I'm in this relationship with my husband, that has been for me the most challenging thing in my life. It's wonderful and it's a challenge. You know, being married about 7.5 years, getting married very late in life, and always now, always as much as I can, you know, going to my higher power, doing those 10 steps, relying on a power greater than me to navigate life, to navigate this relationship, because it's no longer all about me, I'm not running the show, and I get reminded of that sometimes. So what is my ideal? And so I bring it back to the book. I bring it back to my higher power, because I'm not alone. If I'm recovering in from the food and compulsive overeating, thank you. I can apply all of this to all areas of my life. Thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Lynette P. Okay, we have time for maybe two short shares. Would anyone like to put their name in here? Page XXVIII, the second paragraph, fraught the emotional appeal.
Linnea B.
Linnea B. Anyone else? Okay, Linnea B. Go right ahead.
Thank you so much. Hello, everybody. My name is Linnea B. I am a compulsive overeater recovered in Minnesota. You know, I refer to this paragraph often, many times, because it has so much meaning for me. I particularly the part about a solution that has depth and weight. And the reason I say that is because I know both consciously as well as under the layers of any denial that I still have and have had, that this problem, this illness of compulsive overeating, has a lot of depth and weight. It's not just some little diet problem that I have. It's not just some little food problem. It's not, you know, if only, you know, you'd lose a few pounds, everything would be all right. It's not that at all. You know, it is a problem with the depth and weight. And so even despite what my mind might tell me on any given day, or has told me on any given day, a solution that is grounded in a power greater than myself that has depth and weight really is the only answer for someone like me, for a real compulsive overeater. That's what the book calls it anyway. That's what I am. You know, I mean, it, just deep down inside. And so, but the ideal, you know, the frothy emotional appeal doesn't work. Got to have a solution that has depth and weight. And then it must be grounded in a power greater than myself, because that's my problem. I am powerless. I mean, I have no, I can't make it, you know, I can't make the sunshine on a day when I want, when it's cloudy, you know. And so, and that is the amount of power it takes for me to be abstinent from this illness. So, and that has come from a power greater than myself, clearly. So, wonderful to be here with you all, and I will pass today.
And thank you, Linnea B. Okay, does anyone want to take a 1 minute share? Otherwise,
Jordan L.
Going.
Jordan, hi, this is Carrie S.
Sorry. Okay, Jordan, we only have 1 minute, so go ahead, Jordan. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. Thanks, Kathleen. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. I just wanted to say this is one of the paragraphs in the book that it reminds me that absolutely anyone can do this program. I was one of those people who came into OA, and the frothy emotional appeal I heard when I first came in 2012 actually deterred me. I knew that wouldn't be enough to keep me abstinent. so I left and was sort of on a mission to figure this out on my own. so I was very, very, very excited to return in 2017 and understand that there was more to this than that frothy emotional appeal, that this big book could work for compulsive overeaters the exact same way that it works for alcoholics. So anyone can do this program, regardless of what it is that you believe about emotions when you come in here, or what it is that you believe about a higher power when you come in here. It is it's meant to be a program that anyone can do. So with that, I'll pass.
Great. Thank you, Jordan. Thanks for cutting that a little short so we could end on time. And thank you, everyone who shared this morning. A special thanks to Team Monday, Terry S., Reggie O., Shelley E., Lynette P., KP, Amy K., and Leslie M. And Lynette P., if you could please read A Vision for You.
Yes, A Vision for You, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.